Daniel chapter 8. This morning we start our kingdom series, amen. And I titled this first one, Who Will Be Your King? Who will be your king? 1 Samuel chapter 8. Are you ready for the reading of God's word?
Yeah, amen.
Verse 1 says this, When Samuel grew old, he appointed his sons as Israel's leaders. The name of his firstborn was Joel. The name of his second was Abijah. And they served at Beersheba. That's again, 1 Samuel chapter 8. Verse 3 says, But his sons did not follow his ways. They turned aside after dishonest gain and accepted bribes and perverted justice. So all the elders of Israel gathered together and came to Samuel at Ramah. Verse 5, they said to him, You are old and your sons do not follow your ways. Now appoint a king to lead us, such as all the other nations have. But when they said, Give us a king to lead us, this displeased Samuel. So he prayed to the Lord, and the Lord told him, Listen to all that the people are saying to you. It is not you they have rejected, but they have rejected me as their king. As they have done from the day I brought them up out of Egypt unto this day, forsaking me and serving other gods, so they are doing to you. Now listen to them, but warn them solemnly, and let them know what the king who will reign over them will claim as his rights. Verse number 10. Samuel told all the words of the Lord to the people who were asking him for a king. He said, This is what the king who will reign over you will claim as his rights. He will take your sons and make them serve with his chariots and horses, and they will run in front of his chariots. Some he will assign to be commanders of thousands and commanders of fifties, and others to plow his ground and reap his harvest, and still others to make weapons of war and equipment for his chariots. He will take your daughters to be perfumers and cooks and bakers. He will take the best of your fields and vineyards and olive groves and give them to his attendants. He will take a tenth of your grain and of all your vintage and give it to his officials and attendants. Your male and female servants and the best of your cattle and donkeys he will take for his own use. He will take a tenth of your flocks, and you yourselves will become his slaves. When that day comes, you will cry out for relief from the king you have chosen. But the Lord will not answer you in that day. Verse 19. But the people refused to listen to Samuel. No, they said, we want a king over us. Then we will be like all the other nations, with the king to lead us and to go out before us and fight our battles. When Samuel heard all that the people said, he repeated it before the Lord. The Lord answered, Listen to them and give them a king. Then Samuel said to the Israelites, Everyone, go back to your own town. Father, bless the reading of your word, anoint it to our hearts. Lord, help me to articulate your message here this morning, Father, with anointing, passion, and power. Lord, we give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Everybody says,
Amen.
You may be seated. A kingdom is a country or a state or a territory that is ruled by a king or a queen. It's like yesterday we seen, right, or Friday, whatever day, that wedding, the royal wedding. That was, you know, news all over the world. And we've seen that they were, that's a kingdom. The place of that part of the world, they operate as what we call a monarchy or a kingdom. So in order to have a kingdom, there must be a king.
Come on.
I want to read you an illustration out of Dr. Tony Evans' book. It says this, If a man drinks Jack Daniels and comes to my house, Jack has to stay outside.
Oh,
kingdom where I am king, Jack is not welcome.
Hello.
In fact, if you smoke, I don't have ashtrays available for you because you can't smoke in my kingdom.
Come on.
If you cuss in my kingdom, you're going to have to control your tongue because I don't allow profanity in my house.
Wow.
If you don't like my rules, well, there's a simple solution to that.
Hello.
You just don't come to my house. I pay the notes, I pay the utilities, and I bought the furniture.
Hello.
People may think, man, that's cold. No. I'm just head of my own kingdom. If you're under my rule, you've got to respect my guidelines.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Can I hear the parents say amen?
Amen.
In the same way, God is the head of his kingdom. If we want to live in it, be a part of it, and benefit from it, from his kingdom, then we must operate by his rules.
Right.
The problem with kingdom folks sometimes is that they don't like the rules of the kingdom. Israel here rejects God. They reject Yahweh as their king. They do this in asking for a king to replace Samuel as judge. They're really saying and they're really deciding not to allow God to rule them as their heavenly kingdom, as their heavenly king. So by default, they rejected God to be their king because they rejected his way of doing things. How many times have we rejected God as our king by rejecting God's word and how he wants things to be done in our lives?
Come on now.
This morning, I want to give you three ways God was leading Israel. If you're taking notes here this morning, I hope you are, and we should always take notes, amen, on your iPad, your phone, or through a pen and paper, amen, we should always be taking notes. So this morning, I want to give you three ways God was leading Israel, and they're also the same way that God leads us today. The first way is this. God led Israel through Samuel, God's anointed and appointed spiritual leader. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Verses 6 and 7, listen to what it says here. It says this. It says, but when they said, give us a king to lead us, this displeased Samuel. So he prayed to the Lord, and the Lord told him, listen to all that the people are saying to you. What happened here in these verses 6 and 7, Samuel must have felt like they were rejecting him as their spiritual leader and as their judge. See, every leader will feel this way at one time or another.
Amen.
Every leader that is leading the right way will feel rejection.
Amen.
If a leader is truly leading for God, he will be rejected. People will reject what we say, what we do, and how we lead. But lead anyway.
Amen.
Seek rather to be accepted by God than to be accepted by man.
Amen.
Somebody once said this. How can you say you obey God, whom you can't see, but you cannot obey man, who you can see?
Oh, hello, somebody.
So here we see that God's way of leading was through a spiritual leader. Here was Samuel. Matter of fact, they were doing good with Samuel as their leader. We studied and we preached on chapter 7 about the greatest comeback and how God led the children of Israel through many victories when Samuel was the prophet and he was the judge. God used Samuel in a mighty way to protect Israel, to provide for Israel, to guide Israel. And as long as Israel was under the leading and the guidance of not only God, but God's leader, God's man, Samuel, they did all right. They were doing okay. But then chapter 8 comes and all of a sudden, they want to do away with God being their king. They want to do away with the anointed, appointed spiritual leader. Samuel felt rejected. He felt rejected, and rightly so, because they didn't try to hide it. They didn't try to sugarcoat it. Matter of fact, you know what they drew? They came to a conclusion. Listen, your sons are not like you. They're wicked. They're evil. They're taking bribes from the people. Listen, if they were more like you, then we would want them to take your place. But instead of trusting God, they begin to like just kind of 3-5 it, and they came up with their own plan. But here we see that when they were under the leadership of Samuel, they did okay. They were doing good. They were getting victories. They were growing spiritually. But then all of a sudden, they decided to say, you know what? I don't think God made the right decision by putting Samuel over us. God's way of leading us is through spiritual, anointed, and appointed leadership.
Amen.
Listen, I'm not here by myself. I'm not here doing my own thing. We're not just a fly-by-night ministry. I just didn't wake up one day and say, it's a good idea to be a pastor.
Hello.
Me and my wife just didn't wake up one day and say, it's a good idea to start a church. Oh, it's a good idea, you know. We just didn't wake up one day and say that, you know, and didn't say, you know what, I'm gonna give myself a title of being a pastor.
Wow.
I didn't appoint myself.
Come on.
And I didn't anoint myself.
Come on.
The anointing comes from God. The anointing has come is through those many hours and times of prayer meetings, of prayer closets, of fasting, of being in God's word, being in God's presence. That's what meant didn't come from myself. I just didn't appoint myself and give myself a little license to say it's licensed minister. Amen. Yeah. Even though I do have one, because Victory Church International gives me one. I can find it. I'll show it somewhere in there. They give me a lot every year. They give me a lot. They send it in the mail in December. You know, and it's good for 1 year. You know, and we have minister's fees. I pay minister's fee. I pay a minister fee, $100 a month. They take it straight out of my account. You know why? To marry and to bury.
Yeah.
That's why you call me. Pastor, can you marry us? Yes. You know, you just don't have anybody just marry you, because you'll find out that you really ain't married. Don't go up to somebody in the home and say, man, you're a spiritual brother, will you marry us? We're not just here by ourselves. Listen, we got credentials, my friend.
Right.
And anybody that would say, man, you know what? We don't need somebody to be appointed. We don't need somebody to have credentials. Listen, my friend. Listen, if you need a driver's license to drive a car, why shouldn't you need a license to preach the gospel?
Hello. Right.
Now I'm talking about in a church, in a structure like this. You don't need no license to go to the streets. Go to the streets, my friend. Amen. Preach the gospel. Amen. You know, preach in your Bible study. But we're talking about carrying out the office of a minister. It is something serious. It is something sacred. And listen, you know, as ministers, we just didn't say, I pray and I read my Bible, so therefore that I believe that I should be a pastor. No, my friend, it don't work like that. Listen, it don't work like that. It takes years of being proven. This is why when we say, listen, the ministers are men of the cloth. Because listen, we just didn't pop up by night and say, you know what, I'm going to appoint myself. No, my friend, we've been sitting in church in ministry for years, and other leaders and other people in the church have watched us live a godly lifestyle. If I did not live a godly lifestyle back in East Dallas, there would be no way I would be a minister today. I would not be your pastor today. But because I lived a godly lifestyle in East Dallas, in Victory Outreach Dallas, and my pastor and the leaders and the church there, they seen how I was faithful to church.
Man.
They seen how I loved God. I loved prayer. I loved the word. I loved to hit the streets.
Man.
I loved to witness to people. I loved to serve in the house of God. I loved to be an usher. I loved to be a children's ministry teacher. I love to worship God. I love the ministry because they see that I love people. They say, man, this can be a candidate.
Come on, somebody.
To one day be a man of the cloth.
Man.
And we can appoint him.
him.
Huh?
We can appoint. You just don't appoint any knucklehead. Come on, somebody. Just because somebody comes in here that knows the scriptures and knows the Bible, huh? But yet they're reeking like alcohol. There's some alcoholics out there that probably know more of the Bible than us. Huh? Right?
It's real.
Come on now.
Yeah.
Huh? The devil knows more of the Bible than us. Woo! They don't live it. Huh? So see, but Samuel, remember Samuel? We know the story of Samuel. It's the same way. Where did he grow up in? Where did he grow up in? Huh? You don't, oh, I gotta go back and start in chapter 1 now. In the church, in the house of God, remember?
Yes.
His mom brought him. His mom brought him and presented him before Eli, and he grew up in the house of the Lord. And so Eli seen it and a calling upon his life, but not just Eli, but the people seen it. And he became a leader. God raised him up, and he became the anointed, appointed spiritual leader that would lead the children of Israel. And listen, today, God still leads the same way. This is why we preach so hard on raising up leaders. This is why we have leadership meetings and leadership trainings, because we want to raise up some spiritual leaders to lead the people of God into the promised land. Somebody say amen. We're looking for those leaders that you're getting that anointing in your life. We're looking for those leaders that we can appoint one day and send you before the elders of Victory Outreach International, and they can question you, and they're going to see that you know your stuff and you know who you're stuffing, and they're going to see that you're just not wet behind the ears, but they're going to see a man of the cloth, a man that's been trained, a man that's been discipled, a man that loves God, a woman that loves God, somebody, a couple that can make an impact in a city for God's honor and glory.
Come on, somebody.
You're anointed, you're appointed to lead people. To lead people. God still leads the same way. The second way God leads today, God's way of leading us is by faith and trust in Him. See, the Israelites seen Samuel getting old and slower. I mean, we get slower when we get old. Come on, somebody. And I get an amen. You ain't gonna stay young all your life.
Hello.
You're gonna slow down. And the Israelites, they seen Samuel getting old and maybe slower and maybe not as effective as before. And so they worried that there would be no one to take his place once he passed away. Because they looked at his sons and his sons were not like him. Huh? Oh, we need spiritual sons to be like their spiritual father. Huh? But his sons were not like him. Huh? And they started to worry and they started to distrust and they started to say, what's going to happen? Who's going to lead us once Samuel is passed away? So instead of trusting God's sovereign power, they decided to come up with their own plan and impose it on Samuel, their leader. See, God always has a plan and he's always working in the background. That's why I love that song, even when I don't see it, he's working. Even when I don't feel it, he's working. He never stops. 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 He never stops working. And so shouldn't we. If he works, then we should work. If he's building his kingdom, then we should build his kingdom. Huh? He never stops working. But here, the children of Israel, they must have thought that God stopped raising up leaders. God don't stop raising up leaders just because one leader gets sent down or just because one leader backslides and goes back to the world. God always has a ram in the thicket. God always has a David to replace Saul. Hello, somebody. Listen, everybody's replaceable, including myself, my friend. Oh, but listen, listen, we have to fully trust God, my friend. And this is what the children of Israel had trouble doing because they seen Samuel getting old. They say, who's going to be our next leader? They should have just trusted the sovereignty of God. They should have just trusted that God's in control. And it's not your call. It's not your responsibility to come up to your spiritual leader and say, this is how we're going to do it. Because the children of Israel, they made a big mistake. And not only did they offend Samuel, but they offended God.
Come on now.
They offended God. What did he say? He says, they didn't reject you, Samuel. They rejected me. And all you're feeling is what I've been feeling all along. Do you know? Ask yourself, how do I make God feel? How do I make God feel? Let's look at the direct correlation between how they made Samuel feel and then what it brought on God. It was God's idea to raise up Samuel. It was God that anointed and appointed Samuel. Yes, listen, even the same way with the ministers of our ministry. Yes, they go through a committee, but they go through after they fasted, after they prayed. And listen, you think that my pastor didn't fast and pray when he said, should I raise Cisco up to be a licensed minister? Should we send out Francisco and Sylvia to take the city? I'm sure they just didn't pick anybody out of the church. I know they fasted. I know they prayed because I was a knucklehead. And they said, man, we got to make sure. We got to be sure that we hear from God before we launch this young couple out, because it's just not them two. It's their four children. And that's on us. Their blood is on us. Oh, they fasted. They prayed. And they said they heard from God. And they put us out of the quiver. And they put us in their bow. And they stretched the boat back. And they aimed towards Arlington. And they let that go. And here we are, 8 years later, going on 8 years later. We're still going, baby. We're not a dying church. We're a thriving church. We're a church that's alive. That's why you take the drive, because we're a church that's alive. We're reaching treasures out of darkness, because it's been that we've trusted God. We've trusted God these 8 years. We didn't come with no financial support. We didn't come with there wasn't people waiting with tithing envelopes waiting for us. Pastor, we're over here. We didn't come with the worship team. Oh man, worship was good at Big Jersey, but we didn't come with that. It was my wife. She barely knew how to play the piano. She played it with one finger. Oh, but we had worship.
Yeah.
And I sang. Yes, I sang. Hello, somebody. I don't sing no more, but I sang then.
Yeah.
We got little Jose. He was little, like probably, like little. Throw him on the drums. Get up there, boy. Okay, Pastor. There he was, playing the drum. Didn't know what he was doing. I didn't know what he was doing. I said, just beat, brother. I knew how to play a little bit of drum, so I showed him what I knew. We took off from there. We just came by faith, trusting God. But look at our worship team today. We came by faith. When we came, we didn't have a nice building. We had a rat-infested, roach-infested building. We had a run-down building. But look where God has brought us from. He took us off a park, and he put us on Main Street, baby. Why? Because we are people of faith, and we trust God, and we know he's Jehovah Jireh, and he has met every single need as long as we've been here, and he'll continue to meet every need. We gotta trust God. Wow. We gotta trust the Lord. They didn't trust the sovereignty of God. We must be careful that we don't start coming up with our own plans. Just because we don't see God working. Just because we don't feel him working. The children of Israel, that's what they did. Just because they didn't feel. So they say, you know what? Well, let's get together. Let's have a meeting with all the elders. Let's have a meeting with all the old people in the church. Let's have a meeting with all the leaders in the church. Let's do this. And then, we'll come up with a plan. And then we'll approach Samuel. And say, this is what we want.
Yeah.
We must be careful. We must be careful that we don't start coming up with our own plans just because we got a few people to agree with us.
Wow.
And all of a sudden, we want to make that God's will. We got to trust God and have complete faith in him.
Amen.
Knowing that God is in control. Knowing that God is all sovereign. Knowing that he is omnipotent. He is omnipresent. He is all knowing. And he knows what we're going through.
Amen.
There a problem? He can fix it.
Amen.
He can fix it. Look at the 2 Chronicles. I love this verse. 2 Chronicles 20:20. Says this, listen to me, Judah and people of Jerusalem. Have faith in the Lord your God. and you will be upheld. Other translations say you will be established if you have faith in the Lord your God. Then look at the next portion of the verse. Have faith in his prophets and you will be successful. Have faith in his prophets and you will be successful. You know why we have been successful today in ministry? I'm going to tell you. Because I've had faith in God, yes, but I've had faith and trusted my pastor. He says it all the time and I believe it. He says, I was just dumb enough to believe God. And I was just dumb enough to believe my pastor. And he said, this vision is real. And God is with us in this vision and in this purpose. And you can go out and take a city. And still today, he still encourages me. He still tells you, you're going to do a great thing for God. You're going to build a great ministry for God. God is using you in a great way. Just keep on chucking. Keep on giving. Keep on hitting the streets. Keep on preaching. And listen, I'm just dumb enough to believe. And as I continue to believe, listen, God is with us every step of the way, and we have found success in building a ministry. We have found success in our marriage. We have found success in raising children. We have found success. We're going to continue to run into success, my friend. Why? Because we have faith in God, and we believe our leaders, and we know to submit ourselves under our spiritual leaders, under our pastors, under our regionals, under our elders, and under our founders. We're not leaderless. I'm not pastorless. I wouldn't dare to ask you to call me pastor if I didn't have a pastor. There's so many pastors that are pastorless.
Wow.
Whenever somebody says they're a pastor, ask them, who's your pastor?
Oh, wow.
Oh, well, I've got a spiritual mentor. No, who's your pastor? Who's your spiritual father? Who's your daddy?
Hello.
I know it's coming hard for some. I know, but listen. Huh? We believe in having a pastor.
That's right.
We're not pastors. You know what a pastor is? He shepherds us. That's the word of a pastor, is to shepherd, is to lead. Huh? Is to lead, to guide. And then some will call me pastor, but you don't let me pastor you. Oh, shucky ducky. Let me help you. Let us help. That's what we're here for.
That's right.
Hmm? You use the tools that God has given to your disposal, my friend. And listen, you will find success. I'm not telling you something I didn't do. I'm not telling you something I don't do, my friend. Listen, I have pastors over my life. And listen, I'm fine. I'm good. I'm doing great.
Amen.
The third way God leads us is God's way was leading the children of Israel by leading them in battle. By leading them in battle. By leading them in battle. God's way of leading them was not only through a spiritual leader, was not only by trust and faith in him, but then God's way of leading the children of Israel was leading them in battle.
Right.
In verse 20 of chapter 8, listen to what they say. Listen to what the children of Israel says here. Then we will be like all the other nations with the king to lead us and to go out before us and fight our battles. I don't understand that. Remember chapter 7 when we studied it? Chapter 7, verse 10. It says this in chapter 7, verse 10. It said, remember the verse that says, while Samuel was sacrificing the burnt offering, the Philistines drew near to engage Israel in battle. But that day, the Lord thundered with loud thunder against the Philistines and threw them into such a panic that they were routed before the Israelites. See, when God thundered from heaven and routed the Philistines, that was God leading them in battle. That was God leading them in battle. What happens is that we tend to forget the many powerful victories God has brought us through. These folks, they decided to say, you know what? I don't want God to lead us in battle no more. We'd rather an earthly king lead us in battle. Huh? I don't want God to lead us in battle. Even though when God did lead us in battle, we got the victory. Even though when God did lead us in battle, we won the war. All of a sudden now, they want an earthly king, a human, to lead them in battle. Mm. Who, out of their right mind, out of their Christian right mind, would draw such a conclusion? Would you rather God lead you in battle? Or would you rather the commander of the army lead you in battle of America? Would you rather, you know, somebody with a gun lead you in battle? To be honest, we probably, because we're physical beings, we look at the person with the gun. Yeah. And we don't see God, and we don't see a gun in God's hands. Huh? So by default, we say, we'll just go with the physical, because the physical looks more stronger. And that's what happens to many Christians. We begin to take our eyes off of God. Wow. And we put our eyes on the things that we can see. And we start to put our trust on the things that we can see. Wow. It's because we tend to forget all the powerful victories God has brought us through. Why do we forget them? For two reasons. One, we don't keep a grateful and thankful spirit. Wow. We don't keep a grateful and thankful spirit. We got to keep a grateful and thankful spirit. Every morning you should thank God for all the victories He's brought you from. Every morning you should get up and thank God for saving you, for delivering you from what you were, whatever you were. Wow. You should always remember what God has brought you out of and what God has done for you. Right. And you should always keep that spirit of praise and thanksgiving. Why do we come and we praise every Sunday and every Friday? Because we're grateful for who He is, but Amen. We're also grateful for all the battles He's gone before us and for all the battles He's taken us through, all the storms of life that He's taken us through, all the fires of hell that He's brought us through. Amen. We're grateful and we're thankful. We're grateful in prayer, and we're thankful in praise. See, doing these things that remind us of God's goodness and His faithfulness and how far He's brought us. The second reason why we tend to forget is because we forget because we take our eyes off of God and we start looking at the world around us. That's what Israel did. That's what they said in verses 19 and 20. They wanted to be like the nations around them that had a king leading them into battle. Seeing a physical king ahead of them gave them a sense of security. They wanted their trust and their peace to be in something or someone physical they could see and hear and touch. We must remember we live as Christians and operate in God's upside down kingdom. The piano player can come up. We can't look at what others are doing. We must stick to what God is doing. The nation of Israel, they looked at the other nations around them, and they seen kings over them. I said, wow, look at these kings with all their pomp and all their crowns and their big armies. And look at us. We don't have a king. We got Samuel. We got Pastor. But look at them, man. They got this. They got that. Don't look at what they got.
Come on now.
See what God is doing here. See how God has saved you. See what God is doing in your marriage. See what God is doing in your children. Don't start to look at the other nations around. Don't look at the other nations around. And they wanted to see all that stuff. We must remember we operate in God's upside down kingdom. We can't look at what others are doing. We must stick to what God is doing. When we start to look at the other side of the fence, we think that the grass is greener on the other side. That's what Israel did. That's what many do today. They look at the other side of the fence and they say, man, the grass looks greener on the other side. How do you do this? For example, you could be on Facebook right now, scrolling on Facebook.
Oh, wow.
You're not even paying attention to the message because you're scrolling on Facebook or Instagram.
Well,
you could be on there right now, and then you see someone post that they're at Denny's.
Oh.
With the family. Look, we came to IHOP this morning, all the family. Look at my big stack of pancakes, strawberries, whipped cream. You're like, wow. Wow, look at that. Wow, man, I could be there instead of here. Look, somebody posted a big bowl of manula in front of them. Big barbacoa taco. Wow, I'm hungry. Wow, man, I could be there instead of here. Getting yelled at. Who got Pastor Matt this morning? Nobody. It's a message. I got notes. Amen. You can read my notes after. Amen. Holy Spirit gave me this on Thursday. I'm just preaching the Bible. That's all I did, preach the Bible. Let the Holy Spirit do the rest. And we can start to look at what other people are doing. Because start to look at it and begin to envy that. Huh? You can begin to compare yourself with your unsaved friends that are doing other things other than serving God. You begin to compare yourself with your unsaved friends or family that are doing other things than serving God and serving people. They're not even serving people.
Wow.
You could be doing other things other than loving God and loving people. You see them serving themselves and loving themselves. Look, I came and got my nails done. Got my pedicure. Got my hair done. I'm in Cancun. Serving themselves, loving themselves, and we begin to look at that. And that can be appealing, and that can be tempting. Huh? But we're not in just to love. And yes, we take care of ourselves, but it's not all about ourselves. We love God, and we love people. And we serve God, and we serve people. And yes, we take care of our families. And yes, we love our children. And yes, we serve our children. And yes, we serve our parents. And yes, we serve our brothers and sisters. And yes, but we also serve other people that are not our brothers and sisters by blood, that are not our earthly fathers and mothers. We serve all because we love all, because we serve a big God. We're in a big kingdom. And we're into building the kingdom of God. We can't look at what other people are doing. Compare yourself to them. You gotta always know this, and don't forget this, when it comes to God, the grass is not greener on the other side, nor is it greener where you water it, but it's greener where God waters it. It's greener where God waters it. This is where God is watering your soul.
Amen.
You come here every Sunday, you come here every Friday, you go to Bible study to get watered. When you're in worship, you're getting watered. You begin to blossom in the presence of the sun. The grass is greener where God waters it. Does God water you when you're in the home? Does God water you in the home? Does God water you at Bible studies? Does God water you on Tuesday, guys? Does God water you on Wednesday, couples? At your married couple life group? Does God water you, church? On Fridays and Sundays? Then if God's watering, then don't you fret, don't you worry. Come on, somebody. I know it may seem like it, not that right now. Oh, but you just keep on coming. You just keep on serving God. You just don't throw in the towel. Oh, the harvest is great. Come on, somebody. Listen, you shall reap a harvest if you do not faint. God, He even told Israel the trouble they were going to have with an earthly king. You seen that? We read that, right? He said, tell them what's going to happen if you do give them a king. This king's going to demand your sons and your daughters. This king's going to demand that they work for him for free. This king, he's going to work you like a Hebrew. Well, you are a Hebrew. He's going to work you like a slave. Huh? God even told Samuel to warn them. But what did they say? We don't care. We want a king. We want a king. As I close, I want to stress the importance of these three ways that God leads his people. For a new believer, it's important to make Jesus the king of your heart and the king of your life. Romans 10:9 says, if you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. You need to make Jesus your king. He needs to be the king of your heart. He needs to be the Lord of your heart. He needs to be the Lord of your life. Some people want him as Savior, but they don't want him as Lord. He needs to be the Lord. He needs to be the king. That means he calls the shots. He don't want you to drink, you don't drink. If he doesn't want you to smoke, you don't smoke. If he doesn't want you to cuss, you don't cuss. If he doesn't want you to go there, you don't go there. The problem is too many are their own king. Con dinero, sin dinero, hago siempre lo que quiero. Right? Mi palabra la ley. That's your song. That's your song. That song is, in Spanish is with money or without money, I always do what I want. My word is the law. It's a famous Spanish song. Yeah, because you're the king of your life. You're the Lord of your life. You do whatever you want. But listen, when I did whatever I want, it wound me up in Texas Department of Criminal Justice. It wound me up. It wound me in a cell. It wound me up on probate. It could have got me dead. When you do what you want, when you did what you want, you found tracks on your arms. When you did what you want, you almost OD'd. When you did what you want, you messed up your life and you started to mess up your children's life. When we did what we wanted to do, it's time to make Jesus the Lord of your life. And even in the church, just because you're in the church doesn't mean that he's your king. You can be sitting here, but yet you're still sitting on the throne of your heart. And it's time to repent, and it's time to say, God, I'm tired of calling the shots. I'm going to do what you want me to do. What does he want you to do? This is what he wants you to do. Read it. Study it. Meditate on it. Say amen to the preaching of the word of God. Even if you don't like it. I know some of them we don't like. I don't like to have a leader. Man, I'm going to say amen anyways. I'm going to do it because God says I'm going to do it. Not because pastor said, because God says. Well, that's what I do. Well, you think I like everything my leader tells me to do? No. Do it. Because God says, I got to obey my leaders. Because I'm not the Lord of my life. I'm not the king. And for the unsaved, for the unbeliever, you got to make Jesus the king. Because if Jesus is not your king, the world will be the king. The devil will be your king. And let me tell you that king's destination, hell. Hell. I'm not going to sugarcoat it. I'm not going to water it down. That kingdom is going to wind up in hell. That kingdom. Because the devil has his kingdom. We seen it yesterday. We seen it Friday night. We seen it Friday during the day. The devil's kingdom operating, killing folks, blasting folks, smoking folks up, locking folks up. That's the kingdom of the devil. When we went to the street Friday night, you know what you seen? Street team, the kingdom of the devil.
Right.
The devil has them doing his things, selling his candy, pleading his bill. That's the kingdom of the devil. It's here. But we're here too. And this is the kingdom of God. And we're here to push back the powers of the devil. And we're here to take back what the devil stole. Because it didn't belong to the devil. And it don't belong to the devil. It belongs to the children of God. It belongs to Jesus. And it's our responsibility to build God's kingdom. Lift your hands and worship the Lord. Let Jesus be your king. Let Jesus be your king. Let Jesus be your king. The altar's open. Do you want Jesus to be